This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
There's a wonderful book out called I Beat the Odds, From Homelessness to the Blind Side and Beyond. And the author, of course, is Michael Orr. And I think anybody that saw the movie The Blind Side certainly knows the story of this young man. But this book is a little bit different. It really puts into perspective his entire life, the story before we ever got to the movie Blind Side. And Michael, when I thought about you writing this book, the first thing I thought about is I know that Hollywood takes liberties with the facts. They never let the facts get in the way of a good story. So I thought you writing this book was probably an effort to put some meat and some reality into the story. Am I correct in that observation?
I really didn't write it to, correct, anything, toward the blind side and tell everybody that this is real or this is fake or this is really what happened. You know, the only reason I wrote this book was, not to down the blind side or anything like that. I started getting, hundreds and thousands of letters from, people telling me how inspirational I was and how much of a role model I was to them. And, I finally said, I might as well go ahead and write it. And, I could open the doors for so many other people and keep giving so many other people hope. And, I grew up with so many people, like myself that, want to get out and, want to, get rid of the cycle of growing up, going to school, dropping out, getting involved in the gangs, the drugs, and the violence. So, I just wrote it just for that purpose to, show everybody that it is a way out and it is possible.
One of the things that have struck me about you, Michael, is the fact that you have such a positive attitude. And given what you went through, and as young as you were, I don't know how someone maintains that. And you also have a personality and a sense of humor. You said one time, people who see the movie think that they know all about me, but they don't. I have more personality. How did you develop that self-confidence at such a young age that allowed you to overcome all this?
I really don't know. I just always knew that it was a light at the end of the tunnel. I was walking in the dark for, so long. But, I knew that I would see light. I think dating back, when I was 7 years old, watching Michael Jordan in the finals against the Phoenix Suns and the Phoenix Suns and the Bulls in 93, the drive and the motivation that he had, I took a little bit from him, through those years. And he wanted to be the best player, the best, person he could be. And I think I took a little bit from him. And, that was all I had with growing up was, the people I saw on TV. I had nobody going to work every day or going to school. I had to, get up and go to school on my own and, just do everything on my own. So, I think everything I went through earlier, that's made me the guy I am today and made me a better person, not to take anything for granted and, just never wake up and say, I deserve this or, I'm supposed to be here because, what I went through. I wasn't ever going to be mad at the world and go out and commit crimes or do anything like this because of the situation I was in. I knew it was going to get better one day.
Certainly hopelessness comes into a lot of people's lives, and I think that's one of the things that drives them to just simply give up. But you wrote something once, and you said you don't have to get adopted by a rich family to make it. You don't have to get adopted by anyone at all. You just have to have it set in your brain that you're going to make a better life for yourself, and you have to be committed to making that happen. How hard was that for you to believe that, especially at a young age when you were living it?
Well, I never really had to go to the NBA or the NFL. I didn't have to, get adopted by a wealthy family. A successful life for me was getting out of the environment I was in, out of poverty and just everything like that. And I could have had two or three minimum wage jobs working long hours every day as long as I had a decent roof over my head, decent clothes on my back, and, I knew where my next meal was coming from every day. That was successful for me. I didn't want to be a part of that cycle, growing up and getting into all the trouble and things like that. I've always stayed away from the negative people and, things like that. Even at a young age when all that was around me, that was all around me was, the violence and things like that. And I knew I couldn't be a part of that because I had always had a plan and, I always was going to reach my goals.
Tell everybody who Bobby Spivey was and why you feared her.
She was the caseworker. She worked out case and of course, you know, my mom, she was, you know, addicted to drugs and things like that. And, you know, we thought she was, you know, such a terrible person. You know, we really hated her then. And, you know, I had a chance to go back and meet her right before I wrote this book. And, you know, I was going up to the door. And I had an understanding. Now, it's kind of like the movie Slumdog Millionaire. He learned so many things on his journey, you know, in his road to, you know, when he got on the show. And, you know, I had learned so many things growing up where I'm from. Then when I moved in with the tours, I learned so many things. So, you know, I understood now that, you know, going to meet Miss Fivey, that she was helping us out. And it was all, she was only trying to help the family out. You know, she wanted the best for us. So, you know, when I saw her, I gave her a hug, and she knew automatically who I was as soon as I walked in. We shared stories, you know, laughed at the end, you know, tears were shed, and, you know, it was a great meeting. And, you know, like I said, we hated her in the years before, but I understood now that she was only trying to help.
You know, I think about the fact that here you are, a large African-American youngster, and you go into a white bread type of family that was well-to-do. It must have been like one person being on Mars and the other on being on Earth. How did you assimilate into the culture? How difficult was that for you, Michael?
It was easy as 1, 2, 3. It wasn't hard at all. I already known the tours for a couple years, and you know, Mr. Toy, he would help me out. He was a volunteer coach on a basketball team, so he understood my situation. He was in the same situation growing up, so. You know, he would put money on my meal plan, and you know, because at the school you had to pay for lunch. He would put money on my meal plan and things like that. And you know, I had already built a relationship. Leanne, she would take me shopping, things like that. I had already built a relationship. So when I moved in, you know, it was just like I was a part of the family. You know, SJ and Collins, they welcomed me with open arms. A new face coming into my home and taking all the attention. If I was them, I would have been kind of jealous. But, you know, we got along. Right off the bat, it was nothing, you know, it was no tension there, and you know, everybody loved everybody, and it was just like I've been a part of the family the whole time.
Michael Orr is with us, and again, the name of this book, and I'm going to urge you to read it, it's called I Beat the Odds, From Homelessness to the Blind Side and Beyond. Kind of a turning point in your life was when you were 11 years old, and you decided, no, drugs and gangs weren't for you, and you said, I would look around and think, there has got to be something better somewhere. Is it hard for kids to do that? Do they get sucked into that type of life? And why were you able to make sure you didn't get sucked into it?
Yeah, it is. It's very difficult. But I knew at the time, you know, when I was young, I knew then if I got sucked into it, I wasn't going to be here. I wasn't going to be talking to you today. And I had to, my best friends of mine, I had to let go and turn them loose. And, you know, that's just something, you know, a lot of people don't do. You got to get rid of that, get away from the negative crowd and, you know, just stay positive.
When you take a look at your life and where it is right now, Michael, and think back on where you came from, what is it that you appreciate about what you've been able to do?
Do what now?
I said, when you take a look at your life and where it started and where you are now, what is it that you appreciate about what you've been able to do?
I appreciate everything because I know where I came from. You know, like I said, I'll never take anything for granted. And, you know, hard work, you know, all the struggles that I've been through, I know that it's made me the person I am today. And, I never take anything for granted. And I appreciate everything I've been through. Like I said, I've never been mad at, you know, anything I've grown through. And, you know, always been, you know, positive, had a positive outlook on things. And, you know, that's where I continue to be.
Yeah, there's another aspect of this book as well. The message in this book is that you talk about the nearly 500,000 children in America living in foster care. There are the people that take care of these kids, that open their hearts and open their houses, and they're the kids that live in that environment. Can you talk about each one and the importance of them?
Yeah, the foster care. I wanted to touch on that in the book. You know, I was a part of that. And when I first went to the foster, got involved in the foster care at 7, I feel that these kids, I feel that, you know, people, you know, where I'm from, they're immediate, it's a tag placed on. Like, you know, they're going to be, everybody's a bad guy and things like that. I was one of those guys, and I wanted to succeed. And I want to just help the people transition into the homes a lot easier and make it better and get a better understanding. So, you know, it can just open the doors and so it can get a smooth transition.
What do you want people to take away from this book, Michael?
Just I just want to give people hope, because I got an opportunity and, you know, I had doors open for me, and that's the only thing I want to do.
Michael, I want to thank you for your time. Congratulations on the book. I assume you're happy with the way it came out?
Yeah, it was great. Don Yeager, he did a great job on it, and I really appreciate everything you guys, and thanks for having me on.
Okay, Michael Orr, of course, playing with the Baltimore Ravens, first-round draft choice, and, of course, you know about the movie The Blind Side. This is his kind of take on all of this, and he really added a lot more to the story. It gives you more of a feel about how he got to the point where he was before he met the Tuohy family. So you may want to check out this book. It's a fascinating read. It's called I Beat the Odds, From Homelessness to the Blind Side and Beyond. We'll take a break here as we continue across the country and around the world. Good to have you with us on America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline.